We're in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for help. Father, we thank you for this, your word. It is light, it is life, it is truth. Father, we need your spirit to be our teacher this morning. Lord, use even me, a sinful man, to convey these life-changing truths, and by your spirit, do just that. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So far in Mark, we've had the announcement, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have scripture from Isaiah referring to a coming king and a kingdom, one that would be eternal and have no end. Jesus himself proclaimed, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Further, we see Jesus overcoming Satan in the temptation. We see his power over demonic forces, controlling them with a word of his power. We see his power over sickness and disease, saying to a paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven," and also saying to that paralytic, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." In all of this, we've seen this kind of mixed reaction to Jesus. What would it look like if someone like that came on the scenes here? It would probably be a mixed reaction. We see this large crowd of followers that kind of cram around him. They want what he has. They want his ability to heal. He's casting out demons. He's doing all sorts of great things. We see his own family think that he's crazy. But so far we haven't had a ton of teaching, very little teaching, describing the kingdom. So what's it going to look like? And I think we've seen glimpses of it in the life of Jesus and in his ministry. It's going to look like a proclamation of repent and believe the gospel. It's going to look like the curse itself being rolled back. But so far we've had very little teaching from Jesus about what the kingdom of God is actually going to look like. Could that be intentional by Mark? is Mark, by not describing the kingdom of God in detail, is he saying something significant? And I think he is. I think our first question goes to, wait, what's this look like for us? How does this work itself out in our lives? That's the first place our mind goes to. But I think Mark's answer to that is, if you want to know what the kingdom of God looks like, look at Jesus. Track with him, follow him, look to him. That's where you're going to learn about the kingdom of God. It looks like Jesus. And what is Jesus' message throughout? Repent and believe the gospel. Here, though, Jesus opens up the kingdom, but he does so in parable form. And we saw this last week with the famous parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. And we're going to continue these lessons of Jesus teaching us about the nature of his kingdom. Again, all of the central lessons that we can learn revolve around the person and work of Jesus Christ. If someone ever interprets a parable to you and Jesus is not at the center, be wary of that interpretation. With that in mind, let's look at the kingdom lessons and let's learn them at the feet of Jesus. One is a lesson about light. There's a lesson about weight, about measure. There's a lesson about the mystery of growth and what that looks like. And then there's a lesson about something very tiny, very small, very insignificant, growing to something very large, very powerful, and even life-giving. First, light in verses 21 through 23. Jesus immediately turns from the parable of soils to the parable of light. And it might be asked at the end of the parable of the soils, hey, who is this supposed to go out to? Who is the gospel? Who is Jesus supposed to go out to? Right? The sower sowed the seed indiscriminately. And then here, the next parable has to do with light. Jesus asked the question, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? And the answer is, of course, it's not supposed to be put under some bowl or basket or under a couch. A light exposes that which is in the dark. To get the most effect from it, it needs to be set up high. And I think we struggle with this illustration partly because we have light everywhere. At night, when I'm at my house, even if all the lights are off, you have all the street lights outside, you have all the electronics on inside, where you really feel the weight of this parable is when the electricity goes out and you don't have a generator. And you have to find that candle, if you can, and fumble around in the dark for matches or a lighter. Then you realize the full weight of what he's saying here. So you desperately need light in a room. Would you take that light when you finally get that candle lit? Would you take that and then stick it under a chair somewhere? No, you're going to put it up so it exposes what's around. It reveals, light reveals what's there in the dark. And that's what the kingdom of God is like here. I love that he uses a metaphor of light for the kingdom. Go back to the beginning of all creation, all the created order. When into the formlessness and void of what was, God spoke, let there be light. It's the first thing he said. John 8:12, Jesus says, and this is really familiar, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light. He is the lamp. This truth, the truth of him as king, shines in dark places. Just as you would never think to set your lamp under some couch over in the corner, Jesus is saying, don't do that with me. Jesus is central. He is the light life-giving truth of the kingdom of God. It's Him. He's to be placed high on a pedestal so that He reveals all that's in the dark. The lesson here is that the kingdom of God is to shine through the person and work of Christ. There's something interesting about this light, though. It's explained in kingdom terms in this way: for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. We get the impression that there are some who want to shade Jesus, who want this light to be covered, to be out of the way, to be snuffed out. We get the impression that there's something sinister going on. What we see here is that there's this idea that the light will be gone. What's this about? There are going to be attempts time after time after time to squelch the light of Jesus. He's showing us the response given by some to who He is. They want to snuff Him out. You remember the last time that we encountered the Pharisees in a direct way, the scribes in Mark, they conspired to put Him to death. There are those who do not want the light of the truth set up high, exposing what's out there. Because in exposing what's there, their own hearts are exposed and they can't take it. So what do? They squelch the light. And this light would be squelched. The light of life in Christ would go out on the cross. He would give His very life. He would lay it down for us. And again, in resurrection, this light would shine more brightly. There are those who would still to this day want to silence Jesus, to squelch the light of the gospel from going out. I think we're tempted first and foremost, again, to jump straight to ourselves when thinking about the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. But first and foremost, we have to realize who's central in the kingdom of God. If we are to be lights in a dark world, which I agree that we are, where does that light come from? It's not first and foremost in us. It's not our own light. It's not the light of our bubbly personality that shines in a dark culture and in a dark world and affects change. That's not the kind of light that's being talked about here. It's not first and foremost the social light that might be shown in your community. The light that we have to offer that reveals truth is the light of Jesus Christ. It's His person, it's His work. That's ultimately what shines in the darkness and truly reveals what's there. We have a lot of sharp people in this church. We have a lot of sharp minds, sharp families. We have some great things here at Grace. It would be so easy for us to rely on those things to make our biggest impact on the community. What Jesus is saying here is that we've got to have light. And He is that light. We can do a lot of good things in our community, but apart from Christ, there's no real change. Sin is not exposed and hope is not really given. All of that is to be found in the person and work of Christ. Next, we come to this lesson on weight. The term we use for weight here describes the weight of what we have, the measure, what has been measured to us. The term measure was used for an amount of something, a measure of grain, we might see in the scriptures, a measure of oil, a measure of wine. The text says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. To the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is a really strange saying. It's even more strange in Greek. It reads like this. And this is it, just straight translation. The measure you measure will be measured. That's odd, isn't it? We have to insert a lot of prepositions and a lot of prepositional phrases to smooth that out, to iron it out. But it simply says, the measure you measure will be measured. What's going on with that? It's the central truth of the Christian life. And it's this. It's the kingdom of God is completely upside down. Everything in this world, everything that we're told in society is about getting, get, consume, get what you can and cling to it. We want more, we need more. We want more money, more recognition, more material things. We want more everything, and what do? With it? We hoard it up. We keep it, savings accounts, bank accounts. And I was thinking about this text. And again, this is reflecting on my own heart. I was thinking about the dragon Smaug. Do y'all know who that is? You ever read The Hobbit? The dragon Smaug is this guy loves treasure. And he is a bad dude. I started thinking about him. And when the dragon realizes that some, even a tiny amount taken by a few hobbits who come in and subvert his defenses for a little while and take some of his treasure. This is the rage that the dragon has. C.S. Lewis writes, Tolkien. His rage passes description. The sort of rage that is only seen when rich folk that have more than they can enjoy suddenly lose something that they have long had but have never used or wanted. This is Smaug. He's got all this treasure. Somebody comes and takes a little bit of it, and then he's full of rage. And then, as you know, he goes, those of you who have read it, he goes about destroying things as a result. Don't come and take Smaug's treasure. Jesus is saying that a secret to understanding the kingdom of God and the way it lives itself out, the way it works itself out in our life, as the light shines in your heart, as that has been measured to you, give that measure away. Empty yourself. Give of the measure that has been given to you. The way of life for the Christian is to give away what has been given to you by God. Is to share of the grace that you have been shown. Have you been shown grace by God? Have you been set free from sin and death and hell? Of that measure that you have been given, the way to grow in the kingdom is to give that away. Jesus is saying, you're not to hoard these things up. You're not to take this light and put it under a couch. You're to take this reflected light of Christ that has done a great work in your soul, and you're to share it with those who are around. It's the way of life, the way of getting in the kingdom of God, the way of receiving is from God and then giving of that measure to others. The measure that you have been given, measure, and it will be measured. More will come in. I came across this illustration, it's great. It's the illustration of a sponge. A sponge, you can squeeze it real tight, put it in water, it absorbs, fills up with water. You take that out, and it's full. It's a full sponge. For it to have fresh water brought back into it, what has to happen? You've got to wring it out. You've got to squeeze it and wring it out, and then it's dry again. And then it can receive water again, moisture and life. The Christian life is to look that way. It's to look like a sponge. We're to get wrung out so that God can fill us again with His grace. Remember, again, this isn't some inexperienced advice. This comes straight from our Creator's lips. He knows what's best for us. He knows what life is really about. And He is saying, with the measure that has been poured into you, pour that out into others. That's where you find yourself. We're going to look for ourselves in so many different ways, in so many different places. Often it's by getting, often it's by attaining. And along comes Jesus, the Creator of the universe, and He's saying, wring yourself out in giving to other people. He's saying that's what life is truly about. What has value in your life? What has real weight to you? What has been measured to you? What is your measure that you have been given? What is the weight of the treasure of the gospel in your heart? What about in your life, in your home, in your family, relationally? What's the weight that God has given you? Think of that. Now, how can you give that away? In service to others, in giving, in sharing Christ, in sharing the hope of the gospel that you have, more will be measured to you. You will never be empty by giving away. Usually in life, the trajectory is you get something out of what you put into it. Right? If you pour into something, you get something in return. This is a little different. It's give away freely. What has been measured to you, just give away. Then, from giving away, more will be poured into you. The measure that you have, measure, and it will be measured. This is seen in every area of life for the Christian, but nowhere more clearly than the ministry of the church. When you give away yourself, you're blessed. As you minister to others in the church, those who are hurting, those who are in need, you are ministered to. And any of you who've ever done ministry, you know exactly what I'm talking about. How many times have we heard a report from someone going out, going away on mission, that we hear, you know, we anticipate doing good things here in this community. Avery, she prepares to go to Kennesaw State and RUF. She prepares to do great things, pouring herself out in ministry. But the reality is, as she does that, she'll come back and report, in 2 years, God has done the most incredible work in me. That would be the report. That's the way it works. That's the way the Christian life works. You pour yourself out, and God will honor that. He will fill you up. I think we hear that story time after time after time for those who pour themselves out in mission, pour themselves out for other people. They may come in haggard, tired, worn out, but God will fill them up with grace. They will never, ever be empty. And this is the key to understanding life in the kingdom. What happens to those who store up that measure, though, and don't ever put it to use? It never penetrates the heart of the soil. It's the same thing we saw when the seed hits the path. The birds come and they take it away, even what he has. You don't give it away, it'll be removed from you. You take a full sponge. One, they get stinky and kind of start breaking up if they stay wet all the time. They swell up. Have you ever seen that? A sponge that stays in stagnant water too long, they get gross. And they just kind of fade away and melt away. And you take that out and throw it in the sun. Eventually, it's just going to dry up and wither and be done. It's not the way the Christian life is supposed to look. If you do nothing with the measure that you have been given, even what you have will be snatched away from you. So we see Jesus as the light exposing darkness, bringing in truth. We see the measure that God has given to His saints is to be measured out by them, especially in the life of the church. And we see that as that is done, more will be poured in. The question comes, though, how will this look? How does growth look in the kingdom? Jesus is ready with an answer in verses 26 through 29. Here we again return to agriculture. And again, like last week, if we were coming up with metaphors for the kingdom, it would be something a little more powerful than seeds and plants growing. It just would. Right? It would be missiles or bombs or a sword or a hammer. And yet these illustrations, these parables of our Lord are agricultural in nature. Very interesting. The toil of the labor of this farmer doesn't bear fruit. Let's again read this parable. He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and it grows, and he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. When the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Very interesting parable. My grandfather, I would go spend weeks at a time with him as a kid in central Mississippi, Kosciuszko, out of the way town. They lived on a lot of land out there, and he would plant acres as a big garden. Black-eyed peas, corn, tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, you name it, you just run the list. They had blueberry plants, muscadine vine, I mean, just beautiful acres of gardens. And every night he would go to bed, and every morning he would wake up and go walk around his garden. He did nothing to make these things grow. He worked very hard in getting the seed in the ground and doing it in an orderly way. It was beautiful. His garden was always very beautiful. But he would put the seed in the ground and cover it up with dirt, and then he would go to bed. He'd wake up and go out there and check things out, and one day there would be a little shoot growing up, and he'd be like, "Hey, check it out, the okra's coming up." Go back to bed, repeat this process for weeks, and then one day you go out there and you're picking okra. How'd that happen? It's mysterious. At no point did he put some time-lapse camera out there to check it out. He just knew that it was going to grow. God would produce this fruit. What's being said of the kingdom of God. It comes silently. You don't notice it. I love the line in the hymn, how silently this precious gift is given. The kingdom of God comes quietly, not with flash and a bang, but like a little grain of wheat. It grows up out of the ground and one day produces. That's how the kingdom of God comes in. Then one day when the fruit comes in, then the sickle, then the harvest. In the Old Testament, the sickle means judgment. Just as the fruit grows silently and the kingdom of God comes, one day will come judgment. And the fruit will be harvested to the Lord. The kingdom lesson is this: God's kingdom is set in motion. The seed, who is Jesus, is planted. And so the kingdom of God will come and it will bear fruit. And it is going in a direction. And the redemptive purposes of God will happen. It will be quiet. It won't come again with a flash and a bang. Silently, the kingdom of God will come and it will bear fruit. He who has an ear, let him hear. Lastly, small growing to large in verses 30 through 34. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, and yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. Puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Our last image is one of tiny, insignificant-looking seed. They actually come in pods. These seed pods might have hundreds of seeds in them. You open those pods up and they're tiny. They float away in the wind. I mean, there's just nothing you can do. They're these almost microscopic seeds that just fly about. They seem so insignificant. Yet you put them in the ground and these tiny seeds the size of a grain of sand would produce this huge bush in a garden, a mustard tree. And then Jesus goes further, saying that it's big enough to provide shade and the birds of the air would nest in its shade. And that's also an image from the Old Testament. That Old Testament image is of a massive tree. And we see it in a couple of places. We heard about it in Ezekiel 17. It's also found in Daniel 4, Judges 9, Psalm 91. And this giant tree growing up from earth is viewed or imaged in those scenes as stretching all the way to the heavens. And in that tree, these birds would come and find their home, their shade from the sun, and make their nest in the branches of that tree. That's the image that Jesus is pointing to here with this. It begins with this tiny, insignificant seed and grows into this tree that would welcome others to find their home there. Why would Jesus make a connection between a small seed growing into a vast plant? What's that about? A tree that would connect heaven to earth. What's that about? Like all these parables, and like the central truth of all parables, and the central truth of the kingdom of God, it is about Him. It is about the person and work of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who broke in to the darkness of us, to the mess of us, who would have His own light snuffed out so that we could continue living in His reflected light. Jesus is the measure given to Christians. With the measure of Jesus that you have been given, pour that out to others and more will be given to you. Jesus is the seed planted in the ground that grows silently and quietly and grows and expands and produces fruit. Inevitably, He produces fruit. And Jesus is the tiniest of seeds that looks insignificant. So insignificant that His life would be given, laid down for us. That seed would be planted in the ground and it would grow, producing resurrection life. And a place that would welcome us, something that would be big enough to welcome us to come and nest in its shade. The kingdom of God is massive. It is powerful. It is huge. Reaching from earth to heaven, inviting all of us to come there to find life and a true home that's to be found in Christ. So I guess the question is, are we the birds in that parable? Would we find our nest, our true home in the branches of Christ and His family? Would we find him shelter and shade from the scorching sun and the brutal storms of this life? He welcomes us. He is our true home. He is our light. He is our measure. He is the plant that will inevitably produce fruit. He is the tiny seed that grows to a powerful tree connecting earth to heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these kingdom lessons. Lord, may they grow and bear fruit in our lives. May we be like those birds that find shade in the mustard tree. May we find our true home in you. Lord, with the measure that you give us, even this day, let us wring ourselves out in love and service for others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.